1 year ago, Google took its biggest L of all time when it was convicted in court of being a filthy monopolist and was forced to join Microsoft on the registered antitrust offenders list. Back in the good old days, Google was making illegal deals to maintain search engine supremacy, like how it made up 85% of Mozilla's revenue by being the default search engine, and its insane deal with Apple, where it paid them 36% of search revenue to the tune of $20 billion per year. In what appeared to be a big win for the little guy, a judge ruled that these deals stifle competition from other search engines. And now there's only one thing left to determine: what would be the appropriate way to punish Google for these horrendous violations?
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Well, yesterday, we finally learned Google's fate, and it's far worse than we ever could have imagined. It is September 4th, 2025, and you're watching The Code Report. Many experts expected that Google would be forced by the Department of Justice to sell its precious Chrome browser, which continues to dominate with 69% of the total browser market share. A very fitting number when you screw over other companies to reach the top. Chrome is basically the linchpin that ties all other Google products together, and losing it would be devastating to their business. AI companies were praying for the simulation to make this happen, and vultures like Perplexity even offered $34.5 billion to buy it. But Perplexity forgot the most important rule in life: nothing ever happens. When people started predicting Chrome would be spun off from Google, I made a video predicting that that would never happen, and it turns out I was right. Now, I'm not Quasimodo, it's just the idea that a massive corporation would actually be punished for playing unfair is ludicrous. The punishment that was actually handed down can best be described as a slap on the wrist administered with a feather. Google gets to keep Chrome, it gets to keep Android, and it doesn't have to not be evil. On that news alone, the stock was up 10% yesterday, which represents hundreds of billions of dollars in market cap, and Nancy Pelosi just got richer because she bought call options on Google a few months ago that are now deep in the money. I don't know how she does it, but the judge didn't totally let Google off the hook. He administered the wrist slap by telling Google they have to share your search data and stop making exclusive deals with big platforms. In addition, they're not allowed to bundle all their apps together for Android manufacturers. When it comes to sharing data, I want to make it clear that they're not sharing all the personal data that you gave Google willingly. They're sharing the opaque, anonymous data they've accumulated after years of crawling the web, which in theory will help competitors build better search engines and possibly AI models that replace search engines. What's kind of crazy, though, is that Apple can keep its 11-figure search deal with Google.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
They just have to change the wording in the contract so that it's not an exclusive deal. That means that if you want to start your own search engine, there's nothing stopping you from becoming the default search on iPhone. It just offer Apple more money than Google. In addition, Mozilla must be happy right now because they get to keep their Google money also, which would have killed their business otherwise. But the big question is, why did Google get off so easy? Well, Judge Mehta said this in his ruling: the government overreached in seeking the forced sale of these key assets, which Google did not use to effect any illegal restraints. He also said that the emergence of generative AI has changed the course of this case, and that Google's dominance in search doesn't carry over to the Gen AI space. And I would have to agree, because there are superior generative AI tools that are eating Google's lunch, one of which is Warp, the sponsor of today's video. Over 700,000 developers are already using Warp's development environment, and they just launched their biggest upgrade yet, Warp Code. This merges the Warp terminal with their IDE into one platform for writing code with agents. So instead of wrangling a bunch of different AI programming tools, you can just code on Warp. The built-in code editor comes with review panels, inline file editing, and suggested diffs to help you ship production-ready code faster. It also provides tools like agent profiles that let you customize your agents to make them more context-aware. Warp Code just scored 75.8% on SWE Bench, which was good enough to claim the number 3 spot on the leaderboard. You can try it out for free today at warp.dev/moo-fireship, or use code moo to get 1 month free on the pro plan for just $1. This has been The Code Report. Thanks for watching, and I will see you in the next one.